Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 all my beloved listeners. Are you a listener? Are you new? I welcome you. It's a poem, and I just came up with it. I'm impressed with myself. Thanks for being here. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and you are here for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve easily and slide into the rabbit hole of BS, which is bait and switch, or perhaps other iterations of BS that you might consider. I am not here for anything other than the reality of love, the purposes of love. I want my life to go down in history that it says this guy reached hard for love for all. Love for his friends, love for his family, love for his faith, love for enemies, love for those who contradicted him. This man lived for love. And I'm inviting you, join me in this race. Join me in this reach. I believe it creates a bigger, better space for the whole wide world to be a bigger, better place. So we do a couple things here at the No BS Bishop Alive to Love, and we do them at the first and at the last. I'll jump to the last and tell you when we conclude, we're going to practice good, healthy breathing. Lower your blood pressure, calm your nerves, get your brain steadied, and to slow life down just a touch, because I am so concerned about how we live our lives in a full-blown sprint. Every so often, we need to take a sabbatical, whether it's a 30-day or a 30-second sabbatical. Stop. Breathe well. And then, at the end of the broadcast, we're going to practice what I'm going to preach here today, and that is saying, I love you. If it's understood properly, that too is a sabbatical, and I will get to that in a moment. But at the first of every broadcast, I invite you to join me in Love's Creed. Church services often have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. They often have other liturgical sayings that invite the congregation into some sense of stability, a point of reference. We begin here and we go forward from here. And this is what I'm doing with Love's Creed. Something I wrote about a decade ago is my own New Year resolution, and it's carried into a life resolution for me. So, in just a moment, I will have you repeat after me. But before we do that, I'm going to read it all the way through and let you just hear it. Let you savor it in your mind. Meditate the words. And if you'd like a copy, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail. Randy Dean Ministries, all lowercase, all one word, at Gmail, and I'd be happy to send you a copy. All right, here it is in total, then we'll come back and repeat it together. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, now let's go back and you repeat after me. I'll give you a short burst phrase and then you repeat after me as vows at a wedding altar would be done. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there it is. I hope you are, if you've been here before, I hope you're getting into some kind of rhythm in saying that with me, that it's become a staple point of reference, as I say often, a standing under your understanding. That this is how life works. Life comes to its pinnacle when love is the motivating force. Love is the gravitational pull. Love is the connecting point of human relationships. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. There's been a lot of talk in our world, especially since the pandemic back 3 years ago now. It seems like just yesterday, but the pandemic brought to the front of discussion something that should have always been at some of our discussions, and that is how we human beings connect and how it relates to our mental health. Mental health is a subject that has been, in times past, a taboo conversation. It's as if something about mental health conversations were looked at as, well, that's something we say at home. We turn the lights down low, and then we have a very whispered conversation with somebody about their mental health. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we have so many mental health challenges in our society is that we haven't used the opportunity to talk about it right out loud with one another often enough. That we turn on the lights, we lift our voice, we put a smile on our face, not fake, but if our face isn't happy, well, then we let our face reflect sadness or perhaps other emotions that are cooking in us. And we talk about how we really feel rather than slapping the fake, "I'm just fine," quote, on everything. Because when you're not just fine, it's important to have somebody that you can say, "I'm not doing well. I'm struggling. I am not sure I can put my finger on it, or maybe I can, but I'm struggling. My peace of mind is just not there." So I think there's something about connecting in love that is so soul satisfying. That love needs to be introduced to the conversation about our mental health. When we connect with others, we're more vital in our mental health. When we are disconnected from others, our mental health is sliding slowly but surely into places where we're not going to be serving our own life well, and it can get worse and worse to unimaginable depths. But I'd like to invite you to imagine better heights, at least a climb. If you can't in the pinnacle of your mental health, I'd like to invite you to at least imagine a journey upward rather than just slugging it out day by day on some low plateau where your soul seems unsatisfied. I'm convinced that love is a part of the solution, if not the solution in and of itself. To be a part of a connected group of people somewhere. Some of you are listening to me now. You remember the great old sitcom Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Everybody's the same. Where everybody knows your name is how the song goes in the introduction. And there's just always a camaraderie around that bar. Now, I'm a part of the recovery community. I'm not an addict or an alcoholic, but I am a codependent because I grew up in a home with the identified disease of addiction in that home. So it's affected me for my life. But I do know that when we talk about connecting, that if we can just find a spot where we find people, and Cheers really gave a picture of that. I'm not celebrating going to the bar. I'm celebrating connections. I'm celebrating everybody knowing your name. I'm celebrating the sense that we can find a place where it's comfortable to be me, where it's comfortable to just let my guard down and joke and laugh and cry and be as human as I know how to be, even at the risk of somebody not understanding my own humanity. That sitcom, I think, captured the notion of connectedness well. I also believe that any good book, any good romantic tale, any good study on human nature is always going to talk about our connectedness. How are we joined to others? And in what methods are we practicing to continue being joined to others? Well, obviously, one way we're joined to others is by how we talk, how we speak. We have opportunities to connect through our words much more now through cell phones. We can text, we can email, and we can phone call people so much more easily. I remember the day when my wife Ginger and I talked about how she could talk to her mom and dad every day by an email, and it would be free. It wouldn't be a long distance call. You know, if you're old enough, you know the day when you picked up the landline and you dialed a long-distance call, you had a stopwatch in front of you because you knew that long-distance call was on a clicker, and it was chiming up the dollars and cents by the minute. Well, when we discovered email, she discovered a means by which she could connect not only with her mom and dad and family, but with her best friend in Atlanta, Georgia. And then it went to texting, and then it went to Facebook and social media. My point here is this. While some may curse those tools, I don't. Yes, every method of communication can default into some lower level of slugging around and being ugly. Yes, even my voice, even my conversations can slide into the evil morass of negativity and complaint. I always say complaint is dark prophecy. Listen to your words. The more you complain, the more you're building a world in yourself that will surround you. But my point is, you can either go to social media and advertise how deep and dark your thoughts are, or you can use social media or your cell phone or texting to raise your own sights. To when you text somebody, proofread it. Make sure it makes sense in your own mind, and make sure that if you start with some complaint, at least end on a positive note. If you start with saying, man, I'm sick, I got a terrible headache, or I had an accident yesterday, my body's killing me, at least close on the note that says, if you're texting, hey, I really appreciate you as my friend, that I can let you know how I'm doing and not expect any judgments, and that you'll receive me as I am, not as you wish me to be. That's what I'm talking about. If you start on a low note, end on a high note. But connections is what we are reaching for, okay? That's why I'm here today, to do things that are more soul-satisfying in your connectedness, and do it with the, as you might guess, with the goal of love. I'm recording this on Valentine's Day, February 14th, the day we celebrate St. Valentine. I'm not going to give you a historical lesson on St. Valentine, but I will give you this one word that epitomizes, personifies what Valentine's is all about. Love. That we are a people who are in consistent and constant need for love to be expressed in great and small ways. Valentine's Day reminds us that a note, a card, a bunch of flowers, a night out to eat, all of those things matter. And I'm not just talking about romantically. I'm talking about with friends and with family and with neighbors, just connecting on an unusually loving manner to put the cement back in our unglued world, right? Our world is unglued with so many disconnected pieces. It's so important that we, as you are listening to me right now, that we just do our little deeds of loving connectedness, to give some soul satisfaction to those that are around us, to make sure that our soul is feeling that satisfied sense that I did a loving thing. I did something not great, but with great love. It may not have been a great deed, but it was a deed done, small as it may have been, a deed done with great love. So to the end of making our society better, to change this world that's gotten itself trapped in a news cycle that is continually attacking one another, what can I do? Well, I can minimize some of that news cycle. That's one thing. But also, I can rise to the shining of being the glue of love in every contact I make. Making sure that when I see a stranger, that I give it an opportunity. No, not everybody's going to look back at you, but give the opportunity of eye contact and a smile. You know, there's the song that I love that I'm known for singing that has to do with What a Wonderful World, Louis Armstrong's song. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. So if you say I love you, that's great. But if you don't, put it in your mind that when I say, how do you do? Or good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good day to you. Put it in your mind that behind those words, love is the energy that's being applied to the glue of your connectedness, even with strangers, so that every person that you see has one more thin slice reason to just keep going. Imagining that every store clerk has just possibly had 3 or 4 negative contacts with customers. And then when you step up to the counter, imagine they're at their wit's end. And what they could use more than anything else in that moment is your smile, your kind demeanor, your eye contact, your ability to be patient if they make a mistake. Perhaps they're at their wit's end. Maybe it's the end of their work shift and they're ready to go home. And when they get home, you know that what's going to happen there, right? They're going to carry that negativity and that pain into their home. Children will come home from school, or even their significant other, their spouse, or perhaps another family member arrives home. And guess what? The connected pain is precipitated. It keeps going. It keeps rising. And like a small storm that we can see on the horizon, we can see those clouds are starting to build, and we know there's a thunderstorm coming. How about we turn that around? Let's each one be a part of human connectedness that is love-based, human simplicity for the soul-satisfying connectedness with others, to put the glue back into our societal machinations, to put the adhesion into a purpose of our being together again. We're together again, as another song says. Another song says, love lifted me. And I would propose that love can lift anybody, anywhere, anytime, even if it's by the centimeter, and then hope that the next person they see is going to lift them another centimeter. But I'm making a point about how our atomic molecular structure is developed. At the very molecular level of all of our lives, we're either adding the glue of connectedness and love, or we're potentially robbing ourselves and others of the soul satisfying specific actions of love. I mentioned a moment ago, our mental health challenges in our society today are astronomical. But I don't believe that's any accident. I think it's due to our loss of connectedness. It's due to our inability to be able to know more people more intimately as friends and neighbors. And how do you change that? Well, you change it one word, one act, one deed, one day at a time, one baby step at a time. There's no one fell swoop answer to this. I do believe in good mental health. I do believe in making sure that you find a counselor. I do believe that it's important to tell your main provider, medical care provider, your doctor, that you're not feeling well mentally and even spiritually. Make a point to say, I'm struggling and I don't even have a good excuse or reason for it. And of course, if you do have a reason, say what the reason is. If you've just lost a loved one or a friend, say it. I'm sad. I'm not feeling my best self today because my sadness has me by the heart. Say it. Don't hold it in. Don't pretend. Don't fake it. Just be as real as you can with somebody. And if that requires you picking up the phone or going on your computer and making an appointment, then please, by all means, get yourself a check up from the neck up. Never be embarrassed that you've seen a counselor. Never be ashamed that you took yourself to a counselor's room for some mental health examination. Never push back on the idea like it's only for people who are deeply disturbed, when the truth is most of us, most days, are disturbed, great and small, and we are all in need of a leg up, an opportunity to get ahead of the mental health curve. So being able to find a good mental health professional is vital. Now, I'm going to add this because it crosses my mind, and that is, if you need a referral, please, again, email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all one word, randydeanministries, all lowercase, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a list of referrals for mental health follow-up. It's so simple, and it doesn't have to be daunting. Now, I know, because I've done it myself. I've put myself into a counselor's office, and initially, you just feel like you stepped off a cliff. But as you do it more and more, it becomes so much more normal. And normalizing that kind of conversation can so help you stay ahead of the curve when mental health stuff comes to haunt you. Again, I hear I'm talking today about connectedness. Normalizing saying I love you. Normalizing love as our vocabulary. Being able to smile and even with a stranger to say, hey, I love you. Say it from your center, right there from your heart, down from the deeps of you. I love you. Giving it the real lilt of a happy heart, knowing that the person you're saying it to may not have heard it in days, weeks, months, and God forbid, even years, that that moment of hearing I love you might save their life. You don't know. And yet at the same time, if they've heard it three or four other times, perhaps your one more layer is just the boost they needed for being alive and alive to love. All right, well, I've got to conclude this and go back to what I started with and talk to you about the things we do as a staple, as a routine, as a healthy connectedness. And one of the things we do is I just want to talk you through breathing well. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, put your feet flat on the floor, raise your head up as straight as you know how, and be as fully engaged in this practice as you know how to be, physically and mentally. So on the count of three, a deep breath all the way down against your diaphragm. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. You want to lower your blood pressure? You want to slow your racing thoughts down? You want to calm your nerves? Then stop everything. Once in a while, at least once in a day, and just breathe. Now, the second thing is, I've talked about it already. It's saying the three most holy, charmed, and magical words in the human language. Giving it your full attention. Being full of love so that when your voice is activated, love is coming through your words. And saying those three words, I love you. Yeah, it's awkward and it's startling. But you know why? Because we don't give it or hear it enough. And yeah, I know some people think, oh, it's just sexual. I disagree. Yeah, in our bump and grind and weird world, it has become that. And I hate that it has become that. But we can take it to a new and more beautiful place and spread this kind of good mental health. I love you. Say it to a friend. Say it to a stranger. Say it to your lover. And yeah, say it to your enemy. And in a time when ugly is normal, let's rise and shine, do something beautiful, shall we? Listen to me when I say it to you. You can't see my eyes, but imagine my eyes looking at you as I say, dear friend, I love you. Give yourself the pleasure of saying this. Give yourself the pleasure of being a soul-satisfying human being in this world that seems to be intent on sucking the air out of the room with negativity. Let's fill the air with positivity. And the most positive power I know on earth is love. I sure appreciate you being here today. If you've been here many times before, you just make my heart happy. If you've never been here before and you're brand new, I just want to say, wow, hey you, I love you. Now, let's go out and say those words and do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly's getting done to death. It's time to rise and shine. Fill the world one word at a time with beauty and love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.